next song we're going to start with, too. I'm all out of breath, so give me a second. It's the feast.
So hey, it's really great to be together as Brun Washington. This is a special opportunity to be who we are and to be who we are in Christ together. We'll get into that a little bit further, but I think the really neat thing about being together, just us, is that it's not just us. We're together with people all over the world. And I learned this new song from my Christian Pakistani friend. It's in Urdu. And it's we're gonna sing it a few times through, but I want to teach it to you, and it'll be kind of fun to learn a new song together, because this is new to everyone. I just taught it to the team, they barely know it, okay? Oh no, Isaac really knows it, so follow him. This is his favorite one. So let me read it to you first. All right, it's Lahu, Lahu, Yesu Ka Lahu. And that means, and then Gunaho Sehomko Dota He. And that means the blood of Jesus is washing away our sin. I really like the present tense of it. So it's Lahu Lahu Yesu Ka Lahu Gunaho Sehomko Dota He. And then the next part is Masa Masa, that's pretty simple, Mesika Masa. That's the spirit of Christ. And then the next part, Bundun Sare Durita He, is breaking all the bondages. And Oliver is breaking all of our stuff.
I think so.
So we should sing so he doesn't, he can dance. So let's try it. Lahu, lahu, Yesu ka lahu, guna hose honko dutahe. Lahu, lahu, Yesu ka lahu, guna hose honko dutahe. Masa, masa, masika, masa, 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 masika, masa. Bundan sare durita he lahu lahu Yesu ka lahu gunaho se humko duta he lahu lahu Yesu ka lahu gunaho se humko duta he masa masa masika masa Masa, masa, masika, masa. Bundan sare, dorita he lahu, lahu, Yesu ka lahu. Gunaho se humko duta he.
You're getting it.
Lahu, lahu,
Yesu ka lahu.
Gunaho se humko duta he. We'll try that one a little bit later again, but right now here comes Rod to tell us what we're doing. Why feast?
Oh, sorry, I meant to do this. We just wanted to make sure that you got an idea of what we're trying to do here. So we're just gonna kind of jam for a second and tell you. So Gwen, tell us a little bit by what you think this is all about.
Oh, okay. Hello. Thank you. So why feast? Why gather together with people who are perhaps strangers to you or maybe acquaintances? Well, because this is the new family. And so we hope that tonight you will take advantage of sharing a meal with whoever you happen to bump into. I want you to raise your hand if you think it would be okay if someone you don't know, I love this enthusiasm, thank you. If someone you don't know said, hey, can I sit down here and have a meal with you? Would that be okay with you? All right, you have permission. So please don't feel shy tonight, even if you're a little more introverted as I usually am. So welcome to the feast. We do this because love shared over a meal is somehow brought right inside of us, and that's what we hope for you tonight.
It's just like Jesus to have a feast, and so we just keep trying to find new ways to do it, to be the body of Christ, actually taking in some sustenance physically, as this robust body we are, and spiritually, we're that robust that way too. So when we get together, we're actually replicating something that makes a lot of sense, because Jesus is talking about eating all the time, and we have that great feast that we share together that represents his own body and blood. So we want to put that all together and be who we are as the body of Christ in this way. I liked how we scrambled up the chairs. We put you in kind of predetermined little circles so that you wouldn't sit in circles of 15. Are you getting it? You're kind of in little circles right now. So that you get back and you'll be in smaller groups, and then we'll rearrange all night. For those of you who are coming for the first time, this is unusual for us too. We're having a little meal. We don't do this every week, but it'd be okay if we did. But we're going to eat, and we're going to have some time when we talk together. You'll get some input. You get worship. It's everything we do kind of rolled up into one evening. The children won't be here all night, so I'm sorry to say. They'll be leaving in a while if you're wondering about that. And they probably are too, because they're not used to being in here. But it's just kind of fun. It's kind of different. We like to get together and feast, being this new people, being like Christ. So I think they're going to sing again, and then you're going to tell me even more about what we do. Right, Ben?
Yeah, we got a thank you song to get us started with the feasting and the appropriate for this weekend. We're thanking Jesus for all that he's done for us.
Thank you for the dove that guides us. Jesus, open up our ears. You're the voice we need inside us now. We want to be ready, building your kingdom, moving it stone by stone. Father, our creator, you are maker. In you we are not alone. Jesus, open up our hearts. Tear the walls apart that divide us.
Just a little bit of logistics, because we are about to enter chaos, and that's okay. And then I will pray, ask you to pray with me for the goodness of this meal. So you will notice on the paper that's spread under the dishes out there that you can go by on both sides of the line. Feel free to reach across or ask somebody to dish something you can't reach for you. But it's written on that tablecloth what the food is. So if you're looking to avoid meat or something like that, check out what's written there. The desserts are on the wall over with the big giant thermos full of lots of lemonade. There are some sodas there too, much more lemonade than sodas. And then there's water in the cooler. So we kind of just do this as a big mob. We go out that door and somehow kind of create a line and then come through. So there's tons of food out there, and we love to share. Set up some tables in the back. Feel free to pull chairs back there if, especially we thought some of the kids might benefit from having a table rather than eating out of their laps. So if that seems good to you, feel free to use those. Otherwise, I think we're ready. So let's thank God for our feast. Dear one, you are our creator and our maker, and you have made a world rich in nutrition. You nourish us in thousands of ways. Thank you for the abundance of the table that we will share tonight. Food of every sort. Thank you that you satisfy our hunger. We remember those who remain unsatisfied tonight and pray your blessing on them as well. Thank you for your love represented here. Don't let us miss it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So right out that door, help yourselves.
May Jesus walk before you to comfort you. May Jesus walk above you to watch over you. May Jesus walk behind you to keep you safe. May Jesus walk before you to show you the way.
God bless you, little people. Why don't you go to the back room first? Everyone go to the back first, and then we'll split up from there later. Everyone go to the back first. Let's sing it again as they're going.
May Jesus walk beside you to comfort you. May Jesus walk above you to watch over you. May Jesus walk behind you to keep you safe. May Jesus walk before you to show you the way.
Great. Before we go on, let's actually be all the way quiet for just like 10 seconds, just to see if we can do it, but also just to get some centering and take a deep breath. Just be and really be here. Good, you're being totally still, you got there. Now just be quiet. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've already touched us through one another, through this feast we've been having. We're going to continue on and have a feast of love and meaning. So bless us as we do new things with new people, maybe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Howard and Katie want to lead us in what's next. Here's Howard.
Hey guys. So, am I going to come up? Sorry. Katie's going to come up later. Let me read this piece of scripture to you. This is going to sort of guide us to the next part of our evening. I don't have it up on the screen, so you just have to listen closely. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. So if we're going to have any opportunity to have a mission in the city of Philadelphia, if we're going to actually love somebody outside of this room right now, we're going to have to love each other too. If we want to actually love the community outside, we have to work on loving each other. So we're going to work on loving each other by relating a little bit, by sharing a little bit with each other. So I'm going to ask you guys to break into groups of four. No bigger, because I'll say that's too many. So get into groups, and I'll tell you what you're going to talk about. Groups of four. That's good. What's that? So, here's what I want you guys to share about. We've been feasting quarterly. We've been having a feast every 3 months to mark the season. They'll start being quiet in a minute, I'm sure. I'll repeat it. Don't worry, Sarah. Can you not hear me? They can't hear me. Can somebody make me, you guys will have to be quieter because I can't be made louder. Oh, there's Kyle. So we're working on loving one another first in order that we can really go out and love each other, love our neighbors, love the people that we pass day to day. So I wanted us to reflect back on this last quarter, these last 3 months. How have you been loved? How have people shown you love? Maybe in this room even, in this community. And conversely, how have you shown love to others? There's some of you might be somewhat new, might be here for the first time. So you can show how you've loved others, or maybe how you've been shown some love tonight, right here in the feast. So we're working on how have you been shown love? How have you loved others as well? And maybe how have you been shown love by God this past few months? Is that good? You guys clear on that? All right, so go about it. I'll call you back. Should get this, so in case you need extra space. All right, so I'm going to call your guys' attention back up front. Hopefully you've had enough opportunity to share, and I'm now going to actually ask you to do something different. We're in these little groups now. I'm going to ask us to stand up and get into one large circle if we could. It's difficult, I know. Yeah, exactly. Aaron knows. Standing side by side if you could. I often tell myself that, you know, if the only thing that happens tonight is you were made a little bit uncomfortable, that might be okay. We might be a little bit uncomfortable tonight, but it's because we're being stretched in a good way, into something good, I think. So we wanted to show an action to go along with our unity. We wanted to move in a way that was symbolic of us being one, of actually loving one another. So we're gonna do a little dance, and you can just follow me. Just kidding. Katie's gonna show us what's next.
So we should. Ask God to bind us together. And we are going to dance, sort of. We're going to move. We're not going to do the can-can. We're going to do a little sway. So maybe you can lock arms with your neighbor. And we're going to sway as we sing. We'll sway to the left and then to the right. So let's go left and then right and then left. There you go. Now, this is an old song. You probably know it. It's real easy, so you'll learn it fast. Ready? Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. Oh, let's see one more time. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together in love. That's good. You can keep your arms linked if you want, or you can drop them, whichever one. But we're no judgment if you want to drop them. We're going to take some time to pray now and practice putting each other first, like that selfless love that the scripture was talking about. So if you want to speak out and pray out loud one at a time for somebody else, you know, not yourself. They can be in the community or outside of it. And then our response will be, bind us together, Lord. We'll just speak it. We won't sing it. So Howard will end the prayer. But let's pray.
Speak out some of those prayers for others.
I'd like to pray for all the people in Palestine and Israel and Syria that are in the middle of a lot of conflict right now, especially the Christians who are there as they get ready for Advent season. They have a lot of things to worry about, more than just, you know, their Christmas shopping list and you know what it's going to be like when they visit their relatives. They've got real problems, so I'd like to just lift them up as they get ready to enter Advent, the season of violence.
Bind us together, love.
Lord, I'd like to pray for all the teachers in our community, in our city, all the students, those who are involved in the educational process, Lord. I see brokenness there, I see the challenges there, I see the opportunity there. I pray that your spirit would reign, that peace would reign in the halls and the classrooms of the School District of Philadelphia and other schools here in the city. I pray that you would use our educational systems and structures as ways to elevate the capabilities and the capacities of those who are attending school.
Bind us together in love.
My friends Mishtiko and Karen can't be here tonight, and I know they want to be. Pray that you bless them. Bind us
together in love.
I'd like to pray for my circle, whole family here. I want to thank y'all for the experience tonight, and I dearly love y'all. Thank you for the experience, and thank you for
welcome. Love.
Pray for all of our friends that aren't here, beyond those two, especially all the folks that are traveling. Keep them safe, and bring them back to us.
Bind us together in love.
I pray for my friend Neil and Chrissy, and their baby that's on the way and will arrive soon. I just pray for peace and calmness around that time, and that they will get the love and support they need in the days to come.
Bind us together in love.
Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for us and how we're able to just spread it amongst each other. I pray for those in this city who are not feeling loved, Lord, that are lonely and are hurt and are in such need of friendship and of joy and of peace. I pray that your spirit will move in us and open our eyes to see and find them, so that we may bring them to this circle and shower them with your love.
Bind us together in love.
I'd like to pray for one of my clients at the bank, Miss Chavis. She's ill in health, and I want to pray that the Lord strengthens her, brings her healing, and whatever way he sees fit.
us together in love.
I pray for my friend Carly, who's having a lot of issues with her dad. And I pray for all young people that don't have the best relationships with their parents. And I pray that God would be the one parent that they need.
Bind us together in love.
Lord, we ask to be bound. We ask to be committed to loving one another, to committing to feeling loved by you. We give thanks for all the ways that we've been shown love these past months and the ways that we have tried to show love. We ask that you'd bless them and continue to bless our efforts, God, for the only way that they really have power is you working through them. Help to strengthen us and give us resolve when we feel like our love makes no difference. Help us to continue on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can find a seat, and Rod will talk to us next.
Yeah, let's try to make a little curve here, so you're kind of looking at each other like we do. You guys are doing well. It's going like this. Move yours in a little bit. There we go. No, that's too straight now. You got to move yours in. Yeah, this is good. You're doing well. Move it on in. We're making a little clump here. Give yourself enough leg room, but I want you to be able to kind of be together because we're going to talk to each other again. You're doing good with the leg room. Y'all have to be up, you know, just move it on in. You're doing well. You're all finding a seat. Watch me wait for them to all find a seat. I just want to speak for just a couple of minutes to get us started on some sharing together about what happened in this last quarter. And it's storytelling time. You know, you can tell we've been working on that a lot, and so already this evening, and this is kind of more of that, but I'm kind of warming you up to do some more storytelling in a more specific kind of way about who we are as a people and how that's been going in your experience in just the past quarter, like since September when we last got together like this in one of our feasts, which we kind of installed as a little tradition this year, right? We're seeing how that works out, where periodically we all come together, our two PMs converge as one, and all our cells get together. We bring the children in for a while, so we can kind of get a little gauge again about who we are as a people, and we can tell that story and remind ourselves about who we are and what God's doing. One thing we've been doing, it's kind of an anti-bean counting thing to do. We've kind of been developing this little aversion, I'd call it, to what we call bean counting. And I think that's kind of a good thing. What I mean is that we are developing more of a resistance, you might say, to measuring everything. It's kind of a little rebellion that's cropping up and maturing. A maturing rebellion against the perfectionism, which might be a kind of a sickness of the generation. A little rebellion against that kind of stuff. What I'm talking about? We're kind of developing more of a realistic fear about this persuasion that keeps coming our direction that we're alone in the world, and that we have all the info of the world at our fingertips, and we should master it. All that kind of bean counting, data processing, all those kind of things that we're expert at, but not sure we want to actually become. Because I'm not saying that we don't want to know things, or that we don't want to see if we're meeting our goals, or we are coming close to our aspirations. I'm not saying we just never would want to measure anything. I'm just saying that we don't want to conform to the world that doesn't have anything but the facts. And we want to be more than just a fact. We're working on being more like this, more like a people. So I'm saying that's kind of anti-bean counting. So we have this feast sometimes, and randomly, to give ourselves a chance to consider who we are as Circle of Hope Broughton Washington. It's a radical process, really, because as you can tell, we don't think it's just a fact, like you could say, yeah, I'm a part of that thing. No, this is it. This is what you're part of, this kind of messy, we all ate together, we got greasy together, we had awkward conversations together, we said things that we didn't really want to do, and then we really loved them, and then they said something really brilliant, and then we sang this song, and that was kind of crazy but nice, and I don't know what to do with it all. It's more like that. We're saying it's more like that than just some kind of abstraction. You know, whenever we allow ourselves some together time to think about who we are, it's a good spiritual discipline. And in the middle of it, it is always a little bit tempting to bean count. Did enough people come? Did they eat too much of the chicken? You know, did the first people a little piggy, and the last people only got an indescribable rice dish or something? You know, and or celery. I like celery, but not everybody does. You know, or something like that. Did we get enough money in the last quarter? Did we do enough stuff? This is something about us. Did we do enough stuff? Did we justify our existence by actually being as everything as we think we ought to be? Did the right kind of people get into the right kind of roles? You know, of course we have to ask those things. I mean, those aren't like irrelevant things. But if that was all we did, I don't really think it would be worthy of Jesus among us. Because since no matter what we do, Jesus is going to be among us, and that is our salvation, not because of what we do, because Jesus is among us. Jesus is the factor that makes us something, somebody, and we can't do enough to deserve that, right? If you're a Baptist, you'd say, amen, amen, absolutely. You could, oh, that's what you could say, forget amen, just go, absolutely. That would work fine. Not you. I'm not talking about you. Periodically, we need to... he sat in my chair a minute ago, so I'm not liking him. He stole my chair. Now that was... I'm not sure. We'll have to get it back together. We'll reconcile later. I think periodically, we just need to sit back, have to enjoy the Jesus we have, and note all the good things that Jesus has done. That's what we're doing. That's how simple this is. Ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. Sit back and enjoy the Jesus we have and note and appreciate all the good things Jesus has done. It's a discipline. It's a skill, especially when you're doing it as a people. That's what we're trying to do. I mean, that's why Thanksgiving was such a great idea, right? I mean, when Lincoln did it, did you see the movie Lincoln? I saw all the movies that are out. If you're on Facebook, you realize, gosh, we went to the movies like every day. I did. And it was a good thing. Well, maybe it wasn't a good thing, but I enjoyed it. Lincoln, which is my five-star movie probably, he started Thanksgiving in 1863, right? He's the first one that did the decree that we should have a Thanksgiving Day in the middle of the Civil War, probably one of the most horrible, bloody things, and the movie tells you what it was really like, you know, that ever happened in the country. And that was his motivation. Let's have a Thanksgiving Day and remember and try to pause to recognize that God is with us even in the midst of this terrible thing. Lincoln was a good guy. That was a good idea. So we're proposing to do something of the same kind of thing tonight and try to get some skill to do it. Now, you might not have that skill by nature. Recently, I decided that my parents did. I think my parents actually did have the skill at enjoying where they had come from, you know, and in spite of where they had not gotten yet. They were pretty good at this. And it disturbs me a little bit to let them be good like that, because I had a lot of trouble with those people. And I was reflecting on them, I realized, no, I think they really were good at this. they could settle down and make the best of what they had, and they could allow themselves to have it. I probably told you too much about them already, but you probably know that they were very poor when they were growing up. My mother's family got blown off their rented farm by a tornado in Iowa, and they never recovered from it. My father's family never had a farm. They were sharecroppers working on someone else's farm, and when the Dust Bowl got blew through, they got blown away too, and never recovered from that. And so my parents met at, everyone moved to California, they did too, trying to find some work to do, got together, and they pulled themselves up by the proverbial bootstraps and had a little place. I found it on Google. That's my house. My dad planted that tree. It's still there. They haven't changed his house at all. It has 1951 windows. I used to wash those windows. He did all the blocks himself. My uncle was a contractor, and they built the house themselves, and just kept building it on and on and on. And they had this little acreage of their own, their little homestead, and they became solidly right in the middle of the lower middle class. And they felt good about that. They were honestly amazed at their good fortune. And periodically you would see it. They were quite ambitious, but they'd already succeeded beyond their wildest imagination. They had a house, they had enough food to get fat. I think they actually enjoyed being fat. I think they enjoyed their fat children because they had been extremely thin children. Fat children, not so bad. You know, had their kids graduated from high school. Three of them tried college. One of them made it. You know, they were just like, this is amazing. And periodically, I think they just look at it all and say, who would have thought that was going to happen way back in the day? I think you got to be able to do stuff like that. You know, and not just bean count it. You know, oh, my house is only 1,600 square feet. I probably should at least have 2,500. And why don't I have granite countertops yet? You know, something like that. When you look at your house, you know, my sprinkler system is old. I should have the newest automatic sprinkler system. Why don't we live in Hawaii? We're close. We're in California. Why don't we live there? I think Maui's better. Something like that. Why is my education so something not? That's what you kind of don't want to do. Got to enjoy what you have, not just aspire to get what you should have. Need to appreciate who you are and not just look at what you aren't. As we always say around here, you've got to feast on the cheese, not just the holes in the Swiss cheese, right? Have you got that proverb yet? We say it relentlessly. Don't try to eat the holes in the Swiss cheese. Eat the cheese, you've got cheese, eat it. It's good, it's a good thing. All right, these kind of things help us to remember that. I hope I'm warming you up, right? Am I doing okay? I'm trying to get you to do this, because I know you came in with a bunch of stress and you already hate yourself. And I'm trying to get you to say, no, now start looking at the good things that you've got. And look at the good things that you've got here, or you might miss them, and that's not going to be a good thing. You already don't think that's a good thing. But you already miss it all the time. That's why Jesus had to say what he was saying, too. This one lesson that you're very familiar with when he's talking about fruitfulness. He's talking about the fruitfulness that is inherent with people who abide in him, who are with him. This is that whole section where he's saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you stick with me, if you stay connected to me, you're going to bear fruit. It's going to be fruit that lasts, and you're going to be this glorious new being because you're with me. Just stick with me, right? Read that scripture out loud. This is
my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete.
Wonderful, isn't it? Now, some bean counters, and I'm sorry if you're a bean counter, and that's like your title at work or something, I apologize, because I don't mean to just cast general aspersions. But some bean counters would read this message like a call to see how much fruit you are bearing, how much fruit we are
bearing. You know, the Bible says Jesus called us to bear fruit. Where's the fruit? How much fruit is there? Do we have fruit? You know, I think that proves, if you got fruit, that proves that you're remaining in the vine and you're doing, or and if you don't have any, you must be doing wrong. You don't want to do something wrong, so you look for the right. That's the fruit. Where's the fruit? This goes on all day. Do we have enough fruit? You must not be in the vine. Let's get back to the vine so we can bear more fruit. You got enough fruit? Must get back in the vine, because what we're trying to do is get more stuff. That proves that we're actually in the vine. Always working that way. And I think there's something of that in this passage, too. I mean, if you don't care enough about Jesus to wonder if you're working with him to bear the same kind of fruit, you know, that little seed of faith that he gave you was planting in you, well, there probably is a problem. But don't you think that that big part of what he's saying here is less about action and more about being? Like the good trees bear good fruit. Remember how he's saying that? I mean, it'd be better if you were trees, it'd be a lot easier. I mean, good humans have to know they're a good tree so that they can bear good fruit, so they can participate in the process. He says, remain in my love. Remain there. Be there. Stay there. Be planted there. Connect there. And stay connected. His command, he says, is to love God and love one another. Keep the command to be in that love. Be in my love, be in that love. You be in it. You are in it. I think he's saying, am I right about this? I think he's saying, have the joy. I've given you joy. I want your joy to be complete. The joy's already there. Have it. Stick with the joy. Keep with the joy. We sit around a lot as Christians telling our stories. That's why we still have this book, you know, this comes from. It's a great, wonderful story. I mean, the Bible is like my dad kind of sitting on his back patio saying, how great is this? Jesus came for me. I mean, it's like surveying the territory and saying, how wonderful, let's write it down so we don't forget anything about it. We do that a lot too. We're trying to have that kind of reflection, you know, so we can perfect that capacity to see what God has actually made us. So we're not always just aspiring to be something, we can actually already be there and ponder about what is happening right now. Are you working that with me? Our ability to think and to feel with Jesus about who he is and how our relationship with him makes us who we are. It's just being basic adulthood, but it's hard to do that, to actually let your mind have that kind of advanced humanity where you're not just thinking about yourself all day and thinking that everything you think is what reality is. No, you can actually think with Jesus about what reality is, you know, and you can have this mutual reflection that you're working on. And he's trying to get us to do this. We were trying to hang in there with him. And this kind of time helps to do that. If it makes you real uncomfortable to talk about stuff, well, that's good, because you're learning how to do these things. And getting into the love that Jesus is asking us to remain in. So I think we're doing that. I really do. I think we're doing that well. I want to end up here by just mentioning how we're doing it, because one of the ways we do it is like doing things like this. One of the great problems in this era, in my estimation, is that people can't hang with Jesus when he says something like this at all. They can't have faith in Jesus. They just don't get him. We're having problems with Jesus too, but I think we're having that fairly honestly, and we're working with this. We're telling our stories about our lives with Jesus, and it helps, right? It's just like the life of Pi. You saw that one too? Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's a beautiful movie. I'll tell you a little bit about it. I saw the life of Pi because Wreck-It Ralph had already been seen by the people that I was going to watch a movie with. We ended up by saying, we're going to Life of Pi? And I said, that sounds silly. It was kind of silly, but it was beautiful, and it was good, and it was all about telling stories, and about telling stories about what's meaningful in life, and trying to come to some sense of yourself by telling your story, and seeing how it could be told. And if you're familiar with this book, you know that the story of the life of Pi is a very, this crazy story that he tells about himself, and at the end, they have this little conversation about this story, because these Japanese insurance adjusters want to see if the shipwreck he was in was really what he said it was.
And so they represent all the bean counters of the world coming as, no, just give me the facts, Pi. I don't want this wild, imaginative thing that you supposedly think really happened to you. I want facts, I want dates, I want to know if the tiger was really on your boat or not, and all that kind of stuff. And he persists in not, I mean, he'll give him the story because that's just what you do to get by in the world. But he holds on and keeps telling his story that has all the miracles still in it and actually works with the largest truth that he can get a hold of, and he keeps telling that story. And I think we're, I mean, I know I didn't tell you what the movie was about, but I said that because I think we're a little bit like him in that we have a story about ourselves that's much more than the fact. For instance, my father was a lot more than a veteran who built a house in Southern California and became a business manager. He was an ambitious man who thought he could cut down his walnut tree by himself and almost killed my brother with a crashing limb. That's much more what he was than just his definition that would go on his resume, right? And we're a lot more than that, too, as a people. We're not just these people who we started in 1996, and then we did this, and then we did this, and then we got into this building, and then we put up these lights, you know, and that's what we are. You know, now there's a whole story about what was happening with God and what was happening with us, and that's what makes it all beautiful and worth telling. So we're much more than our stats, too, even when our stats are good. We make Jesus known by telling our stories much more than if we try to prove him with our successful church. Even though we're a successful church, not good, not really that great. It's not as great as Jesus. And I end up getting the story. So let's have a few more stories. I've already been telling you a few. I'm gonna list just a few things, just in general, that I think are major examples of the fruit we've been bearing. I asked a couple of people to tell their story, they're just telling a random story about what they feel, not necessarily that I didn't even tell them what to say, but they're just gonna say something about their own sense of thankfulness and fruitfulness. And then I wanna open it up to you to tell some stories, just about how you see Jesus bearing some fruit in us. Okay, can you try it? Like I said before, I think one of our major feats this quarter, since September, was combating unbelief. Got people who are struggling to keep faith, now that they're adults. You poor 30-somethings especially, and they've been growing into their newest selves, and it's not as easy as it sounds. We've been working with that. We've been helping people get married. And stay married. How many weddings did we have in the last half a year? I was just asking, you know, Chuck and Maggie if their marriage was good. They said yes. That was good. So they're still married. That was good. So that's those things are happening. The cells have been growing incrementally, sometimes inclementally, towards multiplication. And I just don't think we can take that lightly. I just wanted to mention it. Sometimes we take it for granted. It's hard to be community in mission. The cells are a radical expression of that, and they put that necessity of being those kind of people in front of us every week. I think that's a big deal. People keep doing it. The PM teams keep growing in maturity. I don't know if you notice this. I do, because sometimes it just seems like nobody wants to do it, and then all these great people come in and they really want to do it, and they gel, and these recent teams that we have in the last couple months have been great. And did I tell you enough about how much money you give? You give a lot of money, and I know you have more, so that's okay, because we'll spend it all. But this congregation, this year, we planned for a deficit in the other congregations. You might not even know this. We planned for a couple of congregations just to go into the red, because we knew you wouldn't, and then you didn't, and you actually gave more than we even expected you to do, which we really could use, and we spent it. And so it's just, you're an engine, you've been a financial engine for the whole network, which is just fabulous. And it's really great that you're that generous. We have some significantly generous people here, and so that should be noted. And we had a convergence about ideas about children too. In the last couple months. I don't know if you noticed that coming together. It was like all these disparate disparate, whatever. These different conversations started coming together, and it was pretty interesting to watch. And this was a place where they started coming together to give us new goals for the next year. So good stuff, excellent fruit. As it's a beautiful thing to see. Sometimes churches that are this age, you know, start getting a little tired. You know, like you just break them up and they should all start new churches because it would be very, very moving or something like that. Everyone would get ramped up again. I don't think we're really experiencing that as fully as you might expect. I'm excited about that. All those things are just, you know, kind of tip of the iceberg, I think. So would you listen to a couple of stories before you get to your own? I'm thinking you're thinking of some ways that you see have seen fruit born in your life or in the congregation, and I'm going to give you a chance to talk about that. But first I wanted Sarah to come and just say a little bit about, yeah, you're Sarah, about the things that she's been experiencing. So this is Sarah King.
Please. I haven't been funny yet. I totally didn't type up a note on my phone while Rod was talking just now. No, my husband and I moved here in September. We had been a part of a small group at our church since 2005, which meant that we got married with these couples, had babies with these couples, met every week with six couples. So leaving our church back in Norfolk and coming up here, the hardest thing for us was thinking, where are we going to go to church now and who's going to be our church community? So we went to church the first week we were here, not here, a different congregation, and I sat down, and the second that I sat in the seat, I started to bawl. I just cried. I couldn't stop. And that happened a couple times throughout that service. I might have seemed a little weird. Because it wasn't my home, and I was really mourning my loss. And a couple weeks later, we found ourselves in this room, and I bawled again, but for totally different reasons. I cried because I finally felt at home. We were singing a song about not killing people in war and helping people in systems of poverty, and I thought, Where have these people been? I should have moved to Philly 10 years ago. That was amazing to me. I mean, I love the people that we left dearly. But I mentioned one time in a small group, I had this really great idea. I thought, you guys, we should all get together like once a month or once a quarter, and we should show each other our checkbooks to keep each other accountable for our financial spending and our giving. There were crickets. It was very quiet. It was a terrible idea, apparently. I have a feeling it wouldn't go over like quite such a lead balloon here, which is very exciting to me. You know, we talked about how cool it would be if we all lived in the same house. People are actually doing that in this congregation, which is amazing to me. How much more time do I have? Because I could really go on. Okay. So 30 seconds. I like all those things. I said that, you know, if I could write a prescription for a church, it would have been this church, these people. I'm not entirely comfortable here. I am stretched, which I think is important. It makes me uncomfortable to pray in front of other people. When we split into small groups one week, I was really freaked out. But that's a good thing. And so I'm very grateful. And I'll wrap it up. I'm wrapping it up. By saying, this is the first church potluck I've ever been to where I didn't feel like a freak for not eating meat. What? So thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much, Sarah. I also asked James to do this, and I barely know James, but I asked him anyway.
Thank you. I'm James. I'm a hopeaholic. So this is my fourth time here. I haven't really been here very much, but I'm a seminary student. I'm a Moravian. And I came here in By the way, 10 Monopoly dollars if you know what a Moravian is. But, okay. So I came here in, I guess, early July, as a research project. I was trying to study the spirituality of people in their 20s and 30s. And Ben said, you should come check out Circle of Hope. And I was a great skeptic because I have been to so many churches, congregations that are designed for, you know, this age group. And they're just so flat and lacking sophistication, kind of perpetual seekers. And there's a time and place for that. But this place was so wonderful. I was just moved after that July experience. And on my way home, at the time I lived in Bethlehem, on my way home, I got teary-eyed. And I said, that resonated with me so well. I sure would love to come back there. And then I didn't for several months. Over the summer, I was developing a lot of anxiety about my seminary career, my post-seminary career, what am I doing, all this sort of stuff. And I said, you know, I should check Circle of Hope back out again and give them another chance because I loved it so much. And this place is phenomenal. I want it to become part of my schedule because it's a time of peace for me. And as a seminary student, whenever I go to religious events, it becomes like a continuing ed sort of thing. You're just like analyzing it from a professional perspective. But I don't do that here. I just want to be and to sing and to smile. And every time I've come here, even though you don't know me, you wave and you say, oh, hi, welcome back, or welcome, or what have you. So I'm glad for the opportunity. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Now for you, just I don't know how long we'll take doing this, but just a little chance for you to speak out and say something that you see that has been like fruit to you, something that looks fruitful that happened to you, or something you just want to note. Oh, you can do it. You got a great voice. Just do it. Clapping, more clapping the better. That's good. Yeah.
Stacy just walked out, but I wanted to. He got baptized last month, and it was a long relationship that we have had for like 5 or 6 years, where he moved from some dude that I barely knew to a good friend, and then to my apprentice in our cell group, and a Christian even. And that was really exciting for me to be a part, to be with him in that that journey.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Did you hear that, Stacy?
No.
Love you, Stacy. Go ahead, Rant.
Plugged into the church, but I never felt at home, and I never felt like I really belonged there, and I was always like, when do I
say something.
You have such a big voice, I can't hear you. Maybe they can't hear you.
I called a college friend of mine this week who I had a talk to him a few months, and we were talking about dating life and married life, contrasting the two. And he is single and in a far away place and has not been able to find anyone to fall in love with, and that's hard for him. And one of the things he said specifically was he's just kind of losing hope that you might have a marriage that would last a long time, because when he goes into his workplace, there's 600 people in his office at his firm, and the amount of people who are married, who are like flirting with other married people, people who are getting divorced and talking about how that's what they're just so normal that he just can't even really envision what a marriage might look like what would a marriage look like. And I was telling him about our community here and how I have like 600 people who I can look around and say, that's what a marriage. I feel really inspired, as I'm starting to marry with Rosie, to have so many people in our congregation who are doing hard work to love one person and to find a way to do that for a long time, and to do that in community and public, because it's an inspiration. That's what you should do here.
It's fine.
So as Jenny alluded to earlier, in October, I led a mission trip to Knockfest, which, for those who don't know, it's like the LGBT Pride Festival in Center City. And really, I felt like Jesus was standing next to me the entire time. And I mean, I went there with the only plan was to tell people that Jesus loves them and to welcome them to him in whatever capacity they can engage at. And some people came to circle, some people are still coming. And it was just so overwhelming, for me at least, because, and I was telling the story in this small group, James asked, like, how I felt about that. And what I felt was God's compassion, and it was overwhelming how much love from the community, but also from God in doing this. Like, I came to the public meeting, and I wept, and I had to run to the prayer room. People had to be like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine, I'm just overwhelmed, and it's all right. But that's what I got out of it.
Good, thank you. No clapping?
Maybe one more. You might notice that some of the parents are taking the child home. Some of the kids they want to go to bed. So don't feel bad about them. And some people didn't know that this lasted forever. But it's not going to last that much longer, so don't worry. Those of you who are just being polite and sticking it out, it's not that much longer. You'll be okay. But some people, if ever you're at a meeting, you need to go. Of course you go. Anything else you want to say?
Wanted to pray for, kneeling with me, letting me anoint them. It was wonderful. I'm not usually at a loss for words, but this experience has left me that way. It was really enriching for me as people shared Christ with me. So I'm just grateful.
Thank you.
Ha Now you feel like you have to clap. I'm sorry, but it's a good thing. It's affirmation. I didn't miss anything significant, did I? That you just got that you needed to say. Okay, then the team's coming. They're going to lead us in what's next. But while they're sneaking over to their station, I just want to make sure you get a chance to be quiet. So we're going to try to be. What you're doing is meditating on what you've heard and what you received as we've been sharing these stories. So work on receiving it. You're thinking through just something that God said to you or that seemed important to you that you're feeling something about. Let that be. Lord, whether we can focus on it or not, I got this general sense that you're with us, I think, many of us, if not most of us. And we thank you for that, the way that that seed of grace that turns to faith and brings us to fruit, brings your desire into our time and place, into a reality we can touch and feel with you. We thank you for that. Bless us as we continue to celebrate it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, y'all. Interesting way to start the worship time together. Anybody want to play drums? I'm serious. Steve had to go home because Julie is throwing up a lot and taking care of children. If any of you wants to come and hit a drum very simply with us, I think you should come up and do it. Rance is motioning towards a djembe. Sure, we got that. Come on. Okay, cool. All right. So let's continue giving thanks as we've been doing with this classic, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song. Upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to.
We're gathered around the table tonight, so let's take a minute to give thanks for that table and the interposition of that precious blood. Be grateful for a moment for that blood of the new covenant that's in the cup there on the table.
My wandering heart to thee. want to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it.
We just sang about raising an Ebenezer. It's an old word that comes from an old story. The story comes from a time when God's people were surrounded by an enemy army, and an army that was much bigger than they were, and they cried out to God for help, and God sent loud thunder that scattered and confused their enemies. And so they said, they recognized God's provision, and they said, the Lord has helped us thus far. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And they set up a stone. So as Christians, our Ebenezer is the cross. And we can look at it and see where God crossed over, where God intervened on our behalf. God saw our need and did not leave us alone. God saw our inability to connect with him and with each other and even with our true selves. And so he gave us the gift of his own body, the gift of himself. When he, on the night he was betrayed, he was eating a meal, kind of like the one that we just had, with his friends. And he took some bread and he lifted it up to heaven and thanked God for it. And then he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it and remember me. And when they were finished eating, he took the cup and raised it up and said, this is my blood poured out for you. It's a new covenant. It symbolizes a new covenant that I'm making with you. A covenant of in my blood. It's a covenant of love that's for all people. So as we gather around the table tonight, there's one here and there's a little one in the back. Let's raise our Ebenezer. Let's look to the cross and remember that thus far God has helped us.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away.
washed away in the wave of his mercy.
As deep cries out to deep, we sing,
come, come Lord Jesus,
come, come. We don't need a band for this next song. They probably did it to music when it was written. But this is Psalm 95, and we're going to read it together. And we're going to pray it in a way that we tried out a few weeks back. Because what we're going for tonight is a little bit of a retrospective of that season of prayer that we've been in. And this is a great way to pray out loud together. So let's start by... And you can keep taking communion. This is just another song. We're just speaking it. Let's read this song out loud together. Come, let's sing out loud to the Lord.
Let's raise a joyful shout to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanks. Let's shout sounds of joy to him. The Lord is a great God, the great King over all other gods. The earth's depths are in his hands. The mountains and heights belong to him. The sea which he made is his long, dry ground, which his own hands formed. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep in his hands.
And let's practice another way to worship and to pray. To be quiet. Let's be in God's hands right now. Just be quiet. You might have even have to stop taking communion for a moment. I'm sorry. But let's just sit and be still. And let deep cry out to deep into our hearts. Now I invite your attention back up to the psalm. Let's sing it in this way now. It's a word that jumps out at you, or a part of it that really jumps out at you the most. Just start there and start reading it. Maybe it'll be one line over and over again. It'll be different than your neighbor. Maybe you want to have your own praise. Maybe you want to call out, thank you, Lord, for these people, for this love, for this time, whatever it may be. And we're just going to have that cacophonous song that we'll sing together in praise. So let's give it a shot, see how it goes. We've done this a couple weeks ago.
Lord,
down and confess, you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. You are all I need. It's your face I see in the presence of your light. We bow down, we bow down, we bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. You are all I need. It's your face I see in the presence of your light. We bow down, we bow down.
So why don't we try this song this way now? I invite you to stand up and let's do some of that shuckling that Ben taught us to do. It's this active prayer that we do with our bodies. We kind of have to do it to our lack of a beat here, but it's a little bit like this. We're getting our bodies into this prayer. We're getting our bodies into this praise.
We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. You are all I need. It's your face I see in the presence of your light. We bow down, bow down, we bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place.
So we can't do this last one as raucously as I would like, but you learned the words earlier. It's Lahu Lahu. Notice I said it was the last song, so if you had not had an opportunity to take in the supper, this is your last chance. But let's see if we can do this one as dancey as possible. It's like, play it like a tabla. Do you know how to play a tabla? Yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's good. Go, Rance, do it.
Lahu, lahu, Yesuka, lahu. Kuna Jose Hanko Dutahe. Lahu, lahu, Yesuka, lahu. Kuna Jose Hanko Dutahe. Masa, masa. Masa, 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 masa na Jose Hongo Dota He Lahu Lahu Yesu Ka Lahu Guna Jose Hongo Dota He Masa Masa Masika Masa Masa Thanks for trying that out with me. Thanks for worshiping. We're going to do some time to learn about how to connect to the community before we go.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That next one's going to be even worse without drums, isn't it?
Do we have the next?
Well, we're skipping. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
Hey, let's have a little news, right? This is just a time where we make sure that we know we're on the same page. It's not that easy to stay there. So we've got the announcements flashing up there on the screen. And then we get a chance to do some other newsing. You know, you're going to grab these books. These red books are on the end here. And we're going to pass them randomly now since we didn't make nice. Well, you kind of did make nice rows. Creatures of habit, I guess. Sign in if you don't mind. And if you've been here for the first time, you don't have to give us any info if you don't want to. But we would love to know who you are and where you live and such. And there's where you give all your money. There's no cup sitting on the offering box over there, so you can find your way to the slot and put some money there. One thing that's happening tonight, if you want to keep, we had a lot of discussion. Is this going crazy or something? We've had a lot of discussion about our map. We put our map for 2013 on the website, and people have been commenting on it for, well, I guess close to 10 days now. And there was a finished version, a finished draft that's up there for a couple of days, plus a budget. And it's been a lot of discussion. So the pastors decided that we'd all offer some time to talk about that tonight. So if you want to hang out afterwards because you have questions that you'd like answered or comments that you want to have face to face, please do. I don't know if anybody wants to do this. If you don't want to, well, just go watch The Good Wife. But if you want to hang out for a while, I'd be happy to help you all do that. Because the next Saturday, we're having our big council meeting. The whole network's going to get together. We'll have our final discussion about this great map we've come up with, which I think is pretty interesting and creative. And the budget is even more creative, so you might have some things to say about it. Try to get all your dialogue done, because there won't be enough time just to do it all at the last minute on Saturday. The meeting is at Frankfurt and Norris, 2007 Frankfurt Avenue. Let's see, anything else you want to note that's coming up that you're going to miss out on?
On Friday, we have our Shalom Hatzah.
All right, this is good. This is really fun.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
The whole theme of we like to eat together, so it's like bring your own bowl and spoon, and we'll have lots of soup. And if you like soup and you want to make soup, there we are. Let me or Candace know, or email us, peace@shalomhouse.us. I'm also really excited. Vanessa Caruso has like this little crew of kids that do childcare, and I asked her if she could bring them and do childcare for us. So it's been out on the dialogue, but you can reserve. Oh, there it is. You have to RSVP with Vanessa though, so because there's only like 15 spots or 12 spots or something like that. So, but yeah, it should be a great night of stories, learning about peace. We give a peace award, which is very exciting this year. So yeah, hope to see you all.
Way to go, Nathan. Anything else you want to note? Do you want us to vote for you, or are you still going to say that? That's okay too.
Well, this is the last time.
We won't let him drink the vodka, but he can at least pose by it. But go ahead.
Water in there. This idea in the top five of 3,000 ideas to get 100 grand and capital from Phil One to start a bakery over in Point Reyes in social business. Voting goes for approximately
We don't think you're spamming. You're our brother in Christ. It's okay. We want the $100,000. Now we've got vodka. We want the $100,000. And this is Facebook, right? If you're on Facebook, you could just put rants in your search thing, and your place would come up, and it's littered with Kettle One advertisements, and you could find it. Good. Anything else? Is Rachel going to tell us about the retreat next Sunday?
I was going to.
Oh, okay, Ben can do it.
Rachel mainly, we're putting together a retreat for next Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We got some ideas. It's pretty exciting. We need an RSVP, though, because we want to plan for you to be there. We have special things that we want to give you, and so we want to know that you're going to be there. Obviously, you can sign up to the last second, probably, but if there's a great big response, we'll have to cut it off, so get your info into Rachel soon.
Yeah, you can't have just a million people do it, right?
All of you cannot come to the Advent retreat. This would be too many people. Maybe. We would consider it, but at some point, we're going to have to cut it off, and that's the problem I prefer to have, is that instead of you not planning to come because you're not planning to do anything, come to this.
Yeah, because we're trying to get started with Advent, which is a whole season of preparation and trying to be open to the incarnation of God in our own life. Our next four Sundays are all about that. If you're not used to celebrating that season, we actually do the season of Advent in a big way around here, and we'd like to coordinate off so we actually have that discipline season getting ready for Christmas. And so that's how we do it. And so every week will be along the same kind of theme, but kind of going progressively towards our denouement, our big capstone of the time on Christmas Eve, where we have a vigil that starts around 10:45 and goes right up to the second that Jesus is born. So it's all a great thing, and I hope you can get to quite a bit of the things that we share. Anything else that you want to mention? Great. Let's spend just a little more time in prayer. There's been a lot of things that have gone on this evening, and I don't know about you, I really like evenings like this. I could do this for a few more hours, it would be fine. This is great. Some of you are kind of exhausted by this point, and you've got too much input as it is. Met a lot of people, heard a lot of good things, and maybe your mind's kind of just swimming. But let's kind of summarize it a little bit for God, and kind of lay it out in a way as we're praying, and kind of lift things up as we're closing here that, again, seemed like what God was doing. What's some of the meaning you got out of it? Where did you hear in the story, maybe, that seemed like this is relevant, this is good, this is moving, and thank God for it, ask God about it, praise him. Just a few things that symbolize that movement in our spirits, okay? I'll let five of you or so say something, and then we'll sing our way out. Okay? So let's pray.
I'm grateful that you have led people to us who now feel at home here.
For the idea and the encouragement to hold on to the bigger truth, the truth.
You are a great God, greater than anything that would claim to be a God or would demand worship or service like a God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, for being near, for being lovable and loving. Bless us as we walk in your way, as individuals and as people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give thanks one more time with this song. We'll just sing the first verse.
Your mercy instead of my battle. Your love instead of my fight. When I'm broken and sore, your grace gives me more. I lay down my weapons tonight. Struggle is cold, sweet tender peace, you're the healer of souls.
Let's do that chorus, just our voices.
Thank you, peace, tender peace, you heal all my wounds, you close my eyes. You lift my poor, tired head, and you give me warmth. And this struggle is cold, sweet tender peace. You're the healer of souls.
Absolutely.